Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are welcoming you here to our special meeting for Berkeley County Board of Commissioners. At this time, we would like to ask Madam Clerk if she will do our roll call.
Chair Corey Balance,
Present.
Vice Chair Louis Sauger,
Present.
Commissioner Ronald Robertson,
Present.
Commissioner Vivian Saunders,
Present.
Commissioner Michael White.
Present.
Chair, we have quorum.
All right, thank you so much. At this time, we'll have our invocation and pledge of allegiance by Vice Chairman Hoggart.
I like all of you like to, that's fine. Just thanking you. We thank you for those who are in attendance, trying to do what's best to make our county better. As we go about our meeting today, I ask that you be that you intervene and so that there's no, you know, you're not a god of confusion. So we grant that to you as we go about our meeting today. Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pledge allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much, Vice Chair. All right. We will now move to our public hearing to consider a resolution of project revenue bonds for Encore Connects, parentheses five. We will now hear from Mr. Connor Cruz. How you doing, Mr. Cruz?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. And thank you. I'm sorry I could not be there in person today. My family's been a little under the weather lately, but I'm grateful to the clerk and you all for allowing me to appear before you via Zoom. Sherry Cooper from Five is in attendance, I understand, in the boardroom with you today. This is a continuation of what we came to you with earlier this month. A public hearing that we're asking you to hold right now and on the proposed issuance of tax-exempt bonds for the benefit of Encore Connects. Encore Connects is a successor to FIBE and is essentially operating the broadband assets that were formerly operated as a subsidiary of the Roanoke Electric Cooperative. In our presentation earlier to you this month, we explained how Encore Connects, FIBE, is undertaking a expansion project of its broadband service in four counties, Bertie, Martin, Granville, and Halifax. They're doing that with two sources of money primarily. One is federal grant dollars that have been flowed down through the state of North Carolina to expand broadband service. But the other portion of that expansion project is being financed through tax-exempt bonds. As a 501c3 nonprofit organization, Encore Connects is eligible to borrow on a tax-exempt basis. And so it's proposing to do that through an entity called the Public Finance Authority of Wisconsin. When those types of bonds are issued, the federal tax code requires that an elected body with jurisdiction over the place where the financed assets are to be located approve the issuance of those bonds in principle following a public hearing. And so that has been our reason for coming before you, one, to hold that public hearing, and then to adopt a resolution approving these bonds in principle following the public hearing. Adoption of the resolution, as you can see in it, the resolution and the memo that we provided to you doesn't have any implication on the county's financial statements, nor does it will be reflected in your financial audit in any way. This is Encore's debt to repay, and we hope to close the transaction here fairly shortly. Each of the other counties, Halifax, Granville, and Martin, has approved these bonds in principle. And so this is the last action from North Carolina counties that we would need. Happy to take any questions, and I'm sure Sherry would be happy to answer any questions that you have before you act on the resolution.
I don't, I just want
Mr. Lloyd had one question that he brought out last time. I can't remember. I don't know if he shared it with you. It's just one issue that he had that he felt needed to be corrected. Do you remember that on the meeting? Well, he said something about second page, second paragraph. I can't exactly remember. He said he would review that. I think that was the only issue. If he didn't mention it, you would have obviously
He didn't bring it up.
He didn't bring, okay.
I can look, I'm just pulling up on my phone right now to look at it.
Just one area he's had a concern, but if he didn't say anything to you about it. Said it was the second, I think in the second page. I don't know if Tanya has those minutes to see what Lloyd said. I think he said that was the only issue to solve. It was just, I think it was something about making can the issue with adding something to a bond referendum or something. I may be wrong.
I'm looking at a plan from April 6th regular session. I'm in a public hearing for Encore, the next five fiber expansion. Congress for Encore will provide bond to finance Encore. Just looking here, just basically one paragraph. Doesn't identify specifically what they're going to check.
Well, that was it.
Okay.
Are you ready for the question?
I am. Then I'm ready for the question.
Sir, I will make a motion to approve this document as submitted. Of this advice, it's very general.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Saunders to approve this resolution of project revenue bonds for Encore Connect. Do we have a second?
Second.
Have a second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Cruz and Ms. Sherry. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And I apologize, I couldn't hear very well. So if there were questions that I can answer for you, I'm happy to do that, but I just couldn't hear what was being said.
We got you approved. Well, we got you approved. Everything's
okay. Thank you very much. And we very much appreciate you holding this meeting today and for your support.
Yes. Did you have a statement you'd like to make, Michelle?
No, that was the quickest meeting I've ever had.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Have a good day. We hope your family feels better, Mr. Cruz.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Does fiber provide telephone service? In the yes.
Yes, sir, we do.
In the county?
Yes, anywhere that has our internet connection can get our home phone services as well.
Okay, and right, internet and home.
That's correct. Okay. And I'll give you some of my cards. So if you'd like to send me an email or a call, I can give you any specific first.
And the reason I ask, because we handle a lot of problem with break speed.
Yes, sir.
And you know, they call it me. I mean, like, you know, we own government break speed because it's a separate entity than the county, you know. But I did want to give them an alternative or someone else that they could reach out to.
Tell them to give me a call. I'll be glad to help them. I'm actually working with Juan and some things for Garcia County, so I'll be glad to help with any addresses we can service.
Okay. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ms. Sherry. You have a great day, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Now we will prepare ourselves for our 2024 audit presentation. Hey, how are you?
Right. I knew that young lady looked familiar. Over at DPTN.
Yeah.
So like.
Good morning. My name is Leanne Vagasawa. I'm an audit partner at Maldon & Jenkins. And today I'm going to be presenting to you the fiscal year 2024 audit results, which we just issued recently. And we are already going to start working on the 2025 audit very soon. So this is our second year presenting in front of the board. I do want to tell you who our engagement team is so you can have an idea of the people that worked on your audit. I'm going to go through all of your audit opinions as well as a couple of financial information. And then there is a couple of slides of required communication that we will skim through. And then there's a couple of GASB pronouncements that everyone needs to know that are coming up for fiscal year 2025 and 2026. But at any time, if you have questions, please feel free to stop me. So this slide depicts who Maldon & Jenkins is. We are a nationally focused firm. We have 19 offices in 8 different states. Our Raleigh office is the office that serves this contract. And the team itself, I served as the engagement partner. Grant served as the quality review partner, which is just another partner that helps review the audit. And then Kayla and Tesla served as the primary contacts for the audit. Maldon & Jenkins itself serves a lot of governments within these states that we operate in. We have over 700 government clients for fiscal year 2025, and a third of our practice is local governments. So from an audit opinion perspective, we issued an audit. The first opinion in the financial statement says that we consider the internal control structure for the purpose of expressing opinion on the county's basic financial statements, but not for the purpose of providing opinion on the effectiveness of internal controls. We performed our audit in accordance with generally accepted accounting standards as well as government auditing standards. And our objective is to provide reasonable but not absolute assurance that the basic financial statements are free of material misstatements. But ultimately, the financial statements are the responsibility of management. We issued an unmodified or a clean audit opinion. That's the highest level of assurance that we can provide, that your financial statements present in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, but our responsibility doesn't extend beyond that report. This next slide that we have is information related to your general fund, and I understand that we're obviously already in fiscal year 2026. This information may not be as relevant to you, but I did want to point out a couple of things in your general fund. You can see over the span of the last several years that the fund balance within the general fund has increased. So in 2020, the fund balance was $1.4 million, and in this past year, it was a little over $10 million. And that has significantly helped some of the metrics that the Local Government Commission uses and uses and kind of guides to determine whether, you know, the county is responsible. So this slide just depicts here that the county has approximately 6.7% of annual general fund expenditures within your unassigned fund balance. If you look at the next slide that we have here, you'll see that in fiscal year 2023, this percentage was only 8.68, and it has gone over to 24% in fiscal year 2024. And we bring that up because in the prior fiscal year, so the 2023 fiscal year, the county had what's called a performance indicator of concern that basically says that you're not falling in a line with this metric for similar size counties. So in the fiscal year 2024 audit, you actually didn't get an indicator for this because your fund balance as a percentage of expenditures and the general fund met the local government minimum standard of 20%. So to continue on with financial performance indicators, when we submit your audit to the local government commission, we submit what's called a data input form. And that form generates some indicators that a majority of the board needs to kind of sign off on how the county is going to address these things. And that's something that your finance department will put that letter together for you all to sign. The first indicator is that the audit was considered late. The audit should have been submitted by October 31st, 2024, and we submitted it in April of 2026. The actual audit opinions in the back of your financial statements does have a corrective action plan, and that's management already saying, like, how are they going to fix this going forward in the audits to come. Another financial performance indicator of concern is there was budget violations, which are disclosed in note 2 of the financial statements that the county spent more than they had allocated to spend. That's on page 49 and 50 of your financial statements. The third indicator is that the unit did have material weaknesses that will need to be addressed. And your last indicator is that During the audit, we noted that the finance director was not properly bonded in accordance with the new requirements. Your finance director is now properly bonded, but during the audit, that was not the case.
Who was the finance director during that time?
Don't mind.
David
Scalberry.
I want to say it was David, the interim finance director.
Thank you.
Finance director at that time. Okay, then. It changed in June. I want to say it was January 1st, 2023. So there was a period of time where it used to be fine that the finance director only had 50%, but then it changed. There was a law change that basically said that you had to have at least 10% of your annually budgeted funds or up to $1 million. So we just tell people, go get $1 million, please. Because if you have to redo your insurance every year, you want to go in there and have to figure out what it could be. And then if you did a budget amendment and your expenditures went up, then you would have to go amend your insurance. So just tell people to go ahead and go straight for the $1 million. And it's not an easy process. I will tell you that they have been, you know, cases in North Carolina where finance directors have had issues getting the proper bonding, but it is a requirement in state law.
Well, that's when Dave was just answering my yes, that is okay.
That's correct.
Okay, the next couple opinions that we're going to go through are in your single audit. They're in the back of your financial statements. The first one is that we issued a financial package that basically says that we did test the county's internal controls and compliance with laws and regulations. We didn't test 100% of everything, but we did perform our audit in accordance with general government auditing standards. And for the Yellow Book report, you did receive an unmodified opinion, but there are material weaknesses noted. From a compliance standpoint, we did audit four programs of the county. Two of them are federal and two of them are state. We audited the Medicaid program, the ARPA funding, and then the two state grants that we audited were environmental enhancement and juvenile crime prevention. We issued two opinions related to the grant testing. One was in relation to the federal programs and one was in relation to the state programs. We did issue what's considered an unmodified opinion, but there were deficiencies noted. So we're going to go through all of those findings as part of our audit in the next couple slides. So the first finding that we have for 2024 was a restatement of prior year balances. This is a repeat finding, meaning that in the 2023 audit, you also had prior period adjustments. All of the adjustments are listed here on the slide. And the important thing to note is that these are all corrected within your financial statements already. So management has already taken the corrective action to ensure that these are properly fixed for the 2024 audit. The next finding that we have is also considered a material weakness. And the couple bullet points here to note is that we're basically saying that these are adjustments that we found during the audit that needed to be corrected. Because of the monetary amount that they're considered a material weakness. So again, these have already been corrected in your financial statements. Yep. The third finding is that bonding requirement. So we are required by statute to write a finding that basically says that the finance director was not properly bonded during the year. So there is a finding for that. And like I just mentioned, the finance director is properly bonded now. You will still have this finding for the 2025 audit though. Just so that we're all clear. It doesn't go away because they're now bonded. They have to be bonded during the fiscal year we're auditing.
Was that a new law? Has it been always been in place?
I believe it changed January of 2023.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, how can you be fined for some changes?
Yeah.
You know, to me, that's not unfair to the agency, you know?
Yeah, so it changed. Most people have their bonding that relates to their fiscal year. So if you had the proper bonding July 1st, 2022, and it didn't end to June 30th, 2023, you were fine to keep the bonding that you had already originated when the law came into effect. But starting July 1st, 2023, which is our fiscal year 2024 that we're auditing, you would have needed to switch it.
How often does that change?
It does not change often.
Okay.
Hasn't changed in my career. The fourth finding that we had is there's a non-compliance finding. There is a fund within the county. It's called the Pest Management Fund that does not have a budget. This is a repeat finding that had the same comment for the fiscal year 2023 audit, but you have to remember the 2023 audit was late, so there wasn't time to actually implement that finding or to make a budget for that fund. Finding number five was there's untimely bank reconciliations. So the bank reconciliations, which are a big part of making sure that the financial records of the county are correct, were not timely reconciled. They should be reconciled on a monthly basis. And I think the county is still kind of catching up and getting bank recs completed. And this finding will reoccur for 2025 from what I'm hearing. And the sixth finding that we have is there is a lack of segregation of duties over manual journal entries. So these are journal entries that are not processed by the system, but are processed within your finance department. And currently the in the 2024 audit, the finance director was preparing and posting their own journal entries. We say that there should be a segregation of duties here. And you have to realize the county has a very, very small finance department, but it still is something that needs to be reviewed. We didn't find any issues when we were reviewing journal entries. So all the journal entries that we tested were properly documented and supported. However, there's areas for improvement here. And I think that this is going to be corrected with the implementation of having an assistant finance director. Okay, the seventh finding is related to grant funding. And this is a repeat finding, the same instance that happened in the 2023 audit. We test day sheets. This is for the Medicaid program. And we noticed a couple instances, two out of the 23 day sheets that we tested, where basically what's being reported minutes for a program didn't reconcile to their pay sheets. And that Department of Social Services has a corrective action plan to make sure that that gets fixed going forward. And then the eighth finding is related to the ARPA program. We were not able to identify who prepared the reports for ARPA submission, which are quarterly reports. We were also not able to prove who prepared those, and we weren't able to prove what time those reports were submitted. And this is a documentation thing. We know that the reports were submitted, and we know that they were accepted by the government agency, but we can't prove that a control was in place. And I think this just has to do with documentation and moving of people out of their roles.
I have a question for you, my big job. You said the Medicaid issue, the Medicaid. Mm-hmm. So don't they do that? Why are we responsible for them?
Because we're auditing the federal program. So part of our audit is we have to audit some of your grant funding. So we have to audit 40% of your federal expenditures and 40% of your state expenditures. So every year we pick different programs. Medicaid is what's called a high-risk program. So the Office of Budget requires to test Medicaid every year. And it's just something that it's hard to keep track of the day sheets. We're not saying that the individuals were paid more by any respect. We're just saying that they're not putting their time properly between the day sheet, which tracks how much time they're spending on Medicaid cases versus their time card.
So is that something that we as a board or county manager, his staff needs to be checking periodically with social services?
That depends on the corrective action y'all put in place with the Department of Social Services. I believe what the corrective action plan basically says is that there's going to be additional training or something like that for the individuals that are actually doing the day sheets and then the people that are approving their time sheets.
So the question I have is, if people don't use time sheets and they use a computer, do you see this being less of an issue if they clock in and out of a computer, or is it
They're doing it in two different systems. So the day sheets are being done in NC Fast and the time sheets are in your payroll module. So they just need to agree to each other.
So, but if they clock in, we don't have a system for clocking in out. They use paper, right? That's what I'm saying. So if we were to go towards a clock in and out system instead of paper, would that?
That's just clocking in to work. I think what you're talking about is the different programs they work on in a day.
Right.
I got that. But you said the amount they work in the day. Like, didn't match up to their timesheet.
If they're saying that I'm doing administrative Medicaid or I'm doing casework administration, that they're putting into what's called their day sheet, it doesn't agree to their timesheet, which is their timesheet is physically how many hours were you there. So somebody might do 7 hours of Medicaid and one hour of other stuff during the day. They just have to equal each other. But we audit 15 counties, and I will tell you most counties have this finding. It is just, it's a paperwork thing where they're not getting paid more. They just need to reconcile to each other. And so this is the supervisors actually going to each day sheet and each time sheet and saying, do they agree? And if do they not agree, then they go back to the worker and say, you need to fix it.
This is something you say you've seen in about 15 other counties as well.
A lot of counties have issues with this. It's not all of them that have this finding, but I would say at least 25% of get this finding every other year.
I don't think we understand my question, but I'm good. I'm good. Because I'm saying if I clock in at 7:15 or 8:15, 8:45, because you start at 8:30, don't you?
Yes.
If I clock in at 8:45, if I manually have to, like, I can put 8:30 at any time on a timesheet, even if I get there at 8:45. But if we were to go to a 8:30, like, let me clock in, it shows that I'm late 15 minutes, which would be easier. But I'm good. I'm good.
Allocating the time to each individual budget.
I'm good.
Right. So it could help to some degree, but it's not going to be a catch-all. It's not going to fix all issues that could exist, you know, if they don't reconcile. Yeah.
Because these have to match the total. That's what I'm...
If you did go to electronic system, you could have, like, some type of, like, warning system or exception reports that would help it, probably. And instead of someone manually having to figure out, is it right or wrong? Okay, so those are all the findings. Like I said, there is a corrective action plan within your financial statements that says how the county is going to address all of those. The next couple slides are required communication. This is just informational that we are required to give to you. The first is that within the financial statements and throughout the audit, we do review management selection of accounting policies. They are disclosed in note one of your financial statements. During the year, management did implement GASB Statement 96 related to subscription-based information technology arrangements. We found all the policies of the county to be in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, and the county is not engaged in any controversial or emerging issues.
Yeah.
Also, within your financial statements are some judgments and estimates that management makes, and they do that based on their knowledge and experience in past and current events. Some of your estimates are actuarially determined. As part of our audit, we do review estimates for reasonableness. From a cooperation standpoint, we received full cooperation with management. We had no disagreements with management. We were not aware of management consulting with any other accountants, and there were no significant issues discussed with management that we think you should be aware of. We do require management to sign what's called a management representation letter that basically says all the information they gave to us was complete and accurate. The next slide said there was one past audit adjustment. This means that there was something that we decided not to book to your financial statements because we determined it not to be material to the users of the financial statements. And this related to your GASB 96 implementation. We decided not to continuously track subscription-based IT arrangements on the financial statements. They're still being tracked, on sheet and paper. Sorry, I lost my place. Okay, the next item up here is that there are many disclosures within your financial statements, and as part of our audit, we do review them to make sure they're neutral, consistent, and provide clarity. The third bullet here is that the basic financial statements as they're presented to you is what we audited, so please don't add to or subtract from the financial statements when you publish it online or share it with other individuals. And the last item is that we are independent of the county in a respective financial reporting process. We do have a couple management points. This is what we call recommendations. So don't think of these as findings that would raise a level of significant deficiency or material weakness. They're not in your audit report. These are just recommendations. The first item that we have is that the county doesn't have a formal policy related to allowance for doubtful accounts in your water services. During the audit, the county did implement a 3% allowance. We just want to make sure that a formal policy is put into place. The second bullet here is that the county did not request for reimbursement of sales taxes. So when you get a construction invoice or something and you pay sales taxes on it, the county yearly can go and request for reimbursement for that. However, the 2024 reimbursement wasn't submitted until March 2026. So this is your money that's sitting out there that you could use. And so it's something that you need to go ahead and yearly make sure you're requesting for reimbursement for it on a timely basis. The third management letter comment that we have is there are several funds that have no activity within the last 12 or 24 months. We ask that the county review several funds like this and ensure that they are being properly finished. That will speed your audit up as well. The fourth item that we have here, this is a repeat from the prior year. There are several accounts payables accounts that have not changed in many, many years. They are small, and so this didn't raise to the level of being a finding, and we didn't take action on it because they are small, but we ask that management go ahead and review those accounts and clear them out. And the fifth item here is related to IT. There's a couple areas of improvement in your IT structure that we won't go into detail here, but they are listed here. And then the next thing that we have to tackle is statement 101 related to compensated absences. This will take your finance department a good bit of time to calculate. And this is something that will have to be implemented into your financial statements for 2025. And then in 2026 audit, we have a couple other GASB pronouncements that we'll work with management to make sure that those are properly implemented. The next slide here tells you that, yes, we are your auditor, but there are some advisory services that we do provide. Some of these we can do and maintain independence, and some that we cannot do. But this kind of lists some of the offerings that we do have. And then the last slide tells you that as an additional service for our clients, we offer free quarterly continuing education classes to get free CPE or free training. And this gives you contact information for me if you would like to be added to those trainings, about 6 to 8 hours every quarter. And that's it. Does anyone have any questions?
On the correction action plan, how long are you giving the office to make those corrections and submit them back to you?
So the corrective action plans are actually in your financial statements already. So they have already been documented. All of them have been documented. Doesn't mean they've all been corrected at this point yet. So okay. I think it's going to take time to correct some of them. And as I went through some of the findings, you'll hear that I said, I think this is going to repeat again for 2025. You have to, the audit's late. And so if it wasn't fixed in 2024, it probably wouldn't get fixed for 2025. So so you'll hear a couple of those. And the hope is that we can get an audit 2025 before our 2026 fiscal year and audit start. So we're trying to turn that audit as fast as possible.
You said it's your hope.
What?
You said it's your hope that we get into 2025.
We need to get the 2025 audit completed.
Where's your deadline
at? My deadline's August.
I'll say it's already passed.
It's already late.
Due 10/31/2025.
So the 2025 audit was, so the law changed again.
I know it.
The 2025 audit was due December 31st, 2025. And so that's statewide. They all moved from October 31st to December 31st. But then the federal compliance supplement was late last year being issued with the federal shutdown. So the local government commission extended the 2025 deadline to February 12th of 2026, but it's still going to be considered late. And in order to get the 2026 audit done by 12/31, we need to go ahead and start the 2025 audit.
Gotcha. So, but overall, we are headed in the right direction.
We're headed in the right direction. You got a qualified finance director. You got an assistant finance director now. I think there's big strides to make sure that your team can get everything done. And then I think that you've hired some consultants that are helping, as well as the NCACC is helping for the 2025 audit to get those submitted as timely as possible.
So I didn't know what some of these were. So I do have some questions.
Okay.
Like on page 16 of the actual audit, it's like, without including consolidated funds, like you have two rows, right?
Let me grab my
tape. Okay.
On page 16.
Yes, ma'am.
What was your question?
Like, what does it mean when it says without including consolidated funds?
This page right here, sir?
Yes.
This is just the general fund. It is. So it's just
you
the
have
general.
Two columns, right? What does that mean right there?
Yeah. Oh, that's just a template. Those are the same. The numbers that we present in the required state statute, those are all the general fund. It does have all the consolidated funds in it. So you don't see a difference between the two numbers because it does include all of the funds. We could change that percentage. I don't know if that's actually calculating correct. You see how it says 3.73? It still should say 24.
What? No, the year before. That's what I'm asking, because I tried to compare last year's, and it didn't match the year before in 23 either.
Okay.
But it went down. That's why, like, everything said it went up. This went down from when. So that's why I was asking, what is that?
I think that this actually may be calculating including without restricted cash. I think that thing is, that number's changing.
Right. So what does that mean?
And I'm not. Oh, so that's saying that if you didn't have your 5 point, so if you have restricted cash of almost $5.7 million, some of that's unspent bond proceeds. There's actually a footnote in here that tells me exactly what that is. But that's basically saying you have funds set aside that are restricted for a specific purpose. If you back those out of your available fund balance, that number drops significantly.
Right. So that's why my question is, from your audit in 23, it declines.
Okay.
Which is why I'm wondering, everything else you said, it has gone up, right? Like
your fund balance went up. But your fund balance may have gone up because you have unspent grant money of $5.5 million.
Right, which is the $4 million that we're saying in unrestricted funds, right? So I said, I'm trying to make these pieces make sense.
Okay.
Because as we just said, so like, I get that it's including the restricted cash, right? So like, okay, we pulled out the $5 million, we've done all that,
mm-hmm,
right? So then at the bottom, it says, without including, you have all this 3.73%.
That's without including your restricted fund. Restricted.
So how did it go down from 2023 if we went up?
Those numbers change every single year. So that percentage could easily change with your expenditures fluctuating too. So, I mean, we can pull the numbers from 2023, 2024,
mm-hmm,
and go by each line to tell you why the percentage went each way, if that would be helpful. This template is the local government template, and we submit this when we submit the audit just so they know where the numbers come from. But basically, if you look at this, the only reason that went to 3.7 is because you took out your restricted cash. That restricted cash is a ton of money. Right now, I'm assuming that the general fund, I believe most of that 5.6 is unspent.
It's the fire. Or the 911 center is what I was assuming. I was wondering, because I assumed it did not include the restricted cash, but I was confused how it went down from
the first calculation. The first calculation does include the restricted cash,
right?
And I don't know without pulling the 2023 financial statements how much restricted cash you had in 23 and what was in there.
I have a question. I don't know if this is up for you or for y'all, but
that's the question.
I was looking on page 104. Is that right with the sheriff's department? How did we budget so much and spend so little?
We could use the ARPA funds.
We did spend it. We just, okay. Is that this?
I did that too.
Okay. Oh, it was glaring that was that big of a difference. And then on page 107, it's the same thing for like expenditures, total social services. Like, we were off by $870,000. Like, we, to the good, I mean, we didn't spend $870,000, which is what is going to go into.
Keep in mind, some of their programs get an allocation be budgeted for, mm-hmm, that they don't actually spend, but if they don't claim that you're in the budget, they can't claim the plan. So that thing that's part of it. So that may have been in the staff. Remember when we did the budget this past year, I think the staff thing covered in 20.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We cut
24 and 25. She had 9 days. And remember, we worked with her, and in the 25 budget,
she cut.
She downsized it. You all gave her flexibility to hire whatever she needed to.
Right. Gotcha.
Right.
And then the same page 107, the debt services.
It's just not allocated out by line that we did it.
But it's showing that we didn't. I mean, that's why I have a question, because it almost looks like we didn't pay some. Like we're saying that we budgeted 1.2 million and we only paid 72,000.
That's going to be part of the reinstatement for the financials in the U.S. Bank and how the federal subsidy went in and out. That amount is about the same amount that.
And so we'll make sure we pay.
You paid what was needed to be paid.
So on page 109, I know this is a question for you.
Okay.
It says reevaluation 80,000. Because this is what we're doing. Right, for next year.
The money we set aside every year.
But we, so I guess you set it aside in fund balance.
Yes, we budgeted. Okay. Just rolled into it. And then we'll start pulling fund balance in this year's budget to start paying for the upcoming year.
Gotcha. And then 111 was, did we use fund balance? That's what I couldn't figure out.
No.
I don't know. It says unassigned total fund balance negative $460,000.
Yeah, so those are related to timing issues. So your water access phase one has, that's where most of that, yeah.
Water.
It's the tall glass of water where there is an error correction in there that caused fund balance to go down 230. Or 214,000, but then you had expenditures more than revenue in that fund. It's a timing. It's just a timing. And I believe within the financial statement, so because there's a deficiency or a deficient fund balance in that fund itself, there is a footnote disclosure that basically says why, I think it's in note two, that says why does that fund have a deficit fund balance, and there's one in the water access phase one, disaster recovery fund, CRDS fund, WC4 improvement fund, and it says that these deficiencies are due to timing issues and will be alleviated with a transfer from the general fund in subsequent years.
So we use in and out of fund balance, so like
general fund balance.
Yeah, those are not in the general fund.
Okay.
But I think that the way that
that's what we're looking for. Yeah.
Specifically for that water access fund, though, there are transfers from the general fund that are expected to kind of alleviate what you're not receiving federal and state grants for of $820,000. And those transfers haven't occurred yet to that fund. And so that's why the fund is at a deficiency. So what we're asking, and these are kind of when you see a deficient in fund balance. So for the 2025 audit, I'm not sure if that transfer was budgeted, but it would need to get budgeted in 26. You can't have a fund sitting there with a deficit. And so that's something that needs to be budgeted to be transferred, but it just didn't happen in 2024.
I'm not sure you didn't confuse me a little more, but
okay.
The only reason I said it is because I thought everything we spent on the water on Berkeley Beach was already grant funded and we already had it. That's why.
According to the 2024 budget authorization on page 131, the project was supposed to cost about $2.8 million at that time. And in the 2024 audit, you only were receiving $1.9 from federal grants. Now that may have changed, you know, subsequently, to where the budget more aligns with the more federal funding.
Reimbursement.
So at the end of the 30th,
we got the money.
This reflects what we have at that time. So basically,
gotcha.
Those funds coming from?
Go ahead, very question, because they should be in
those
by now.
Funds coming. Those funds coming from state to us. Is that where it's coming from? No, because I'm trying.
Yes, I think that's the state.
Because state doesn't even have a budget; hadn't had one in 2 years.
Right, but they still need the state commission.
Okay.
So,
like for instance, on 46, one that we do, I mean, pay the bills and
wait.
Green engineering will submit the invoice to the state. They will tell me that we go in a portal, we'll authorize it, and we get a check a couple of days.
In a perfect world.
In a perfect
world. So I guess the question is, right, I know we're going to jump this. So has it come in yet or not? That's a, I mean, that, because we should know that by now to see if it's covered, because this is 24. So now we're in 26. Has the money come in? And we can answer that question later on. We don't have to do it right now, but that's going to be a question, because we're saying June 30, 2024. We're almost hitting June 30, 2026.
I just guess my question is, how does not the state not having a budget affect all of this?
It's a good question.
Okay.
Has the state not having a budget affect?
The state not having a budget, not having one for 2 years, how is that affecting us in terms of?
You're still getting your money sometimes.
Okay.
They froze, DOJ froze some grant funding. State froze some grant funding. So if Robin may have submitted the reimbursement, and she may not have gotten that. I'm asking a question. She had the reimbursement report should have been sent in, and the money should have been back by now.
Follow up on that. So where that damn money at?
And the other question I had was the non-major governmental funds. And that's what I don't know what some of these are. So I really am asking questions, because it was on page 116 this year, 115 last year.
It'd be in June, then legislative day in May.
I was trying to look.
The 18th, 19th through 21st.
And so it went. Like, what's in this page right here? Just tell me.
116?
Yes.
So 116 is the summation of all your special revenue funds, which are on page 117 and 118. That tells you everything that rolls into special revenue funds. And then the capital project funds, what rolls into capital project funds, it's on page 119 and 120. That's all.
Are these something more like restricted funds here?
So special revenue funds generally are funds that a lot of what you have are grant funds, but you have like the emergency telephone fund, the affordable teacher housing, you have the OSB settlement funds, fire district, representative, pest money. Generally, the funds that are coming in do get restricted for a specific purpose.
I got you. And the reason I ask that is because, like, the year before, it was $1.7 million. But if they're restricted, you would spend it over time. So that's why I just didn't know how it went down. But
so the reason the revenue went up so much in 2024 is because of the ARPA funds. So you originally, when you received the ARPA funds, they were in unearned. And then in the current year, you actually did use $1.7 million to fund expenditure. So you recognize that revenue in 2024. That's why they went up so much.
And then my last question, and this is y'all, is 121, the public safety. Was that 911 grant or is that the fire grant? Because they're both about the same, right?
Consider the
okay. I got you. So public safety would be the fire grant. Okay. I mean, it's right at 5.1. That's what I was wondering.
So the public safety got moved. It's no longer a special revenue.
Okay.
It's not a non-major. It's in the front of your financial statements now because of that big grant that was received during the year. So the fire safety, it's called the Department of Public Safety Fund now. It changed names this year. That one, you can see the assets on page 2022, and you can see the revenue on page 24, because you got that $5.5 million grant and it made it a major fund. So it kind of shifted where it was last year to this year.
The public safety in 121.
Any more questions? Okay. Any more questions? Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. I would just like to say that, you know, I appreciate you all's hard work. I know we're behind, but y'all stayed the course, got them what they needed. And there's things, you know, while we have work to do, mm-hmm. we have made major improvements. Mm-hmm. So I commend you, you know, your hard work and your dedication. Thank you so much. And thank you.
Chairman. If I may, I want to thank Leanne for working with us to get, yes, your patience, working with us to get 2024 done. Of course, we have some more catching up to do, but thank you for working with us to get that done and for your, even the findings, we take those seriously, and the recommendations also, because the purpose here is to improve, you know, our internal controls and that sort of thing. So thank you for that. I want to thank the staff. Particularly the finance staff for working hard and being diligent and getting this done. Finance staff, the water department, my office, and our clerk Davis with getting minutes that the audit requests. So everyone, all of staff in some way had some part in making this audit as successful as it was. So I want to thank all staff. And I just want to take a minute just to let you all know how important, while again, there are some findings and there's some recommendations that we're going to work to improve, this is major progress for Bertie County. When I came here, as y'all heard me say many times, fund balance was low, was 1%, which means available fund balance was less than $300,000. Less than $300,000. Now we have over excess of $3 million in available fund balance. So we go from 1% to almost 25%. And so there were three things that had us on the unit assistance list of when I came here. One was timeliness of the audit, which is, we're still working on that. But fund balance was major. Again, we went from 1%, now 25%. And then the second thing was not having a surplus in the water department. The water department was losing money. Now the water department is making money. And so two of the three things that put us on the unit assistance list have now been removed. And so we're working on the third. So yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Leanne.
So we no longer on the unit assistant. Yeah.
Well, not saying that yet, but we're heading in that direction.
Thank you again. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Willis. All right. Thank you, buddy. All right. All right. Consideration for Bertie to participate in the Remnant Defendant Opioid Settlement. That you or Mr. John?
Yes, sir. I'm just going to read a couple paragraphs, very short, just to refresh your memory. This is from the email that we got from the attorneys for the overall national attorneys for the opioid settlement. A new national settlement has been finalized for the following six additional opioid distributor or dispenser defendants under the Remnant Defendant Settlement Agreement February of this year. Names are Associated Pharmacies, J.M. Smith Company, Morris Dickerson, Louisiana Wholesale Drug Company, North Carolina Wholesale Drug Company, and Unify Super Value. The total of this national settlement is $97,725,000. The national consortium strongly recommends participation in the settlement. The settlement follows the national framework used in prior resolutions and provides additional abatement funding without the expense and delay of continued litigation. So to participate in this, each subdivision, which would be Bertie County as well, must execute a combined subdivision participation and release form. So both the participation form, and it can be submitted by rubrics via DocuSign, and if this board votes to participate, then once we go ahead and submit that through the process.
That sounds like a no-brainer, doesn't it? Everybody on board got consent with it. Do we need to make a motion to?
So move, Mr. Chairman, that though.
Second.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Robinson to move forward to participate in the Remnant Defendant Opioid Settlement And we have a second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. All right, can move forward with that. Okay. And at this time, we will. Are there any other items?
No, I just misspoke a second ago. I talked about how we went from less than $300,000 in 2020 to over $3 million. We actually have over $6 million in available fund balance. Excuse me, over $6 million. Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Well, attorney, you have anything you'd like to address before we adjourn?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I need a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moves, sir.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor to adjourn this meeting and public hearing by Commissioner Robinson. And we have a second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Good evening, everyone. Meeting adjourned.